Good morning. Let's pray this morning. Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've provided this time and this place. And we pray, Lord, as we look at the fact that you can do anything, Lord, we pray that you would do something mighty and powerful in this place today. We understand that the forces of darkness and the opposition would keep that from happening. We pray against that, Lord. We pray that your power would supersede any interruptions or distractions or anything that would prevent us from being in your word today and being completely 100% focused. And so now, Lord, we commit this service to you by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name, asking that you would speak to our hearts. We pray all these things for your glory. Amen. Can our God do anything? Our God can do everything and anything. And this morning in Mark's Gospel, in chapter 1, in verse 21, we see proof of this as Mark communicates to us through the Word Jesus' power and authority over all things. His power to command evil spirits to leave a man, his ability, his authority over sickness and even death. And so this morning, as we get into the Word of God, in chapter 1, in verse 21, we read that they, that is Jesus and his disciples, went to Capernaum. And when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Before we even get into the account here of this demonic activity in the synagogue, let's take a moment and realize that Jesus taught in the synagogue on the Sabbath. He was welcome to share from God's word as a Jewish adult male. He exercised his right as a Jew to teach the people from God's word. Now, it was the custom to permit any qualified man to read and interpret the scriptures. And that's largely because most people who taught in the synagogue simply got up and repeated whatever it was that some other great rabbi had said. They quoted all of the teachings of the previous teachers. So they really didn't say anything original. They were just regurgitating whatever it is there or was that they had heard. So when he got up, even though this ministry was usually reserved for the rabbis and the scribes, as a qualified male, he was able to get up and start to share. And no one really expected anything more than some regurgitated message, some quote, some recap of things that had already been taught. But he taught the people from God's word as someone that had authority. And I think that's something that no one but Jesus could really do. I mean, let's be real. I mean, any of us that would teach God's word know that when we get up here in the pulpit and begin to share God's word, all we can do really is share with you the things that Jesus has taught and the things that are shared in his word, and maybe give some practical applications as to how you can apply those lessons to your life and in and through your life. But when Jesus got up, he was such a contrast as he was in the pulpit, if you will, at the synagogue. And he was such a contrast to all those that had gone before him as he began to teach with authority. And it's at this point that they realize that this man is more than just some carpenter from Nazareth. He has authority not only to do many things, but especially and specifically to teach. Now, we know that Jesus' message was one of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. That's what Jesus preached. I believe as he taught in the sanctuary of their temple, or excuse me, synagogue, as he taught there, he was really more interested in communicating from God's word the truth of who he is. And as he began to teach from God's word, maybe he preached the gospel, maybe he didn't. Maybe he was just sharing with people who knew the scriptures what the scriptures really meant and how they really apply to our hearts. But the people were amazed at his teaching. They were amazed by what he taught, but they were more amazed in many ways by how he taught them. He taught them without quoting others. He simply taught them the truth of God's word. As I've said, the rabbis would get up and with great pomp and circumstance, they would quote the opinions of their predecessors. They would never claim any authority to say a word on their own, and yet Jesus spoke with this authority. And at this point, something happened. And I think we can expect any time the word of God is taught with authority by the power of the Spirit, we can expect opposition. I've gotten used to it. When I walk in on a Sunday morning, I know there's going to be some computer glitch, network problem, crazy sound system, demonic experience. Things you can't fix, things that make no sense, you can't understand what's going on. Because I know that the devil would love to interrupt what's happening here today. Or get me in a place where I just want to get in my car and go home. Because now I have to preach wondering when's the next thing going to happen. But we put those things aside and we say, all right, well, whatever. If something interrupts us this morning, we deal with it, we move on. Because we know that what will happen the minute the word of God is taught with power and authority is that there will be opposition, demonic evil spirits, if that's what happens, well, then we'll deal with it in the name of Jesus. So here we are in the synagogue. Jesus is teaching the word of God with authority. And here's what we read in verses 23 through 26. Something happens, something disruptive, something disturbing, something that distracts from the teaching of the word of God with authority. Just then, isn't it interesting? They're listening. The authority is there. The word of God, the power of Jesus. And suddenly, just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him," and the evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. That must have been some scene. I don't think there was a coffee hour after that experience. People might have gotten a little shook up. Some may have said, "I'm out of here, I'm going home." Might have freaked a few people out. A man with an evil spirit cried out as Jesus was teaching with authority in the synagogue. Now, let's stop a moment. This man was a member of the synagogue in Capernaum. No one expected this. No one was aware that he was possessed by a demon, as far as we can tell. He had never exhibited any questionable behavior before, or I doubt he would have been sitting in the synagogue. But this evil spirit that was dwelling in this man was threatened by Jesus' presence in the synagogue, his teaching as well, and so he confronted Jesus. Please understand, if you teach in the power of the Holy Spirit from the Word of God, you're going to be confronted. You're going to be confronted. It may not always be some evil spirit type experience, but it might be some opposition from someone else. It may be, again, some distraction, some difficulty, some challenge. One Sunday we came in here a couple of weeks ago and the whole network was down. Now, I don't know how many of you know, but the more advanced we get in our technology, the more problems can happen, as we know. Now, our check-in station next door depends completely on access to the network. All of the tablets that are used up here by the worship team, in many ways, all of our equipment is dependent now upon internet connection. And isn't it interesting that that particular morning, I found out later when I called our network provider, they very nonchalantly said to me, "Oh, well, the system was just down for about a half hour. It just happened to be the half hour we needed it." They said it was a fiber break. I thought a fiber break was during the day, but that's just me. I won't go any further. So as I'm thinking about this, I'm saying to myself, could that have, oh yeah. Couldn't have been a half hour after the service. It had to be that time when we needed it most. I'm recognizing the more I mature as a person and the more experience I have in ministry, I'm recognizing that I need to expect these things, not to walk in and say, can you believe that happened? Yeah, I believe it. I not only believe it, I expect it. So here's Jesus. I don't think he was surprised. This seemed to happen to him a lot, as we'll see, that every time he started to work in the power of the Spirit, the devil or demons opposed him. He was baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit, and what happened? The Holy Spirit drove him into the wilderness, brought him into the wilderness where he was tempted by the devil. We saw that a few weeks ago. And now he's out there ministering. He's chosen a few disciples. And what happens? He's confronted by an evil spirit within a man within the synagogue. This is disturbing. Now, I don't want to get everyone so worked up that you start looking over your shoulder and thinking, is that guy? Is that woman? What's going on? The Bible tells us in the New Testament that we will know them by their fruit. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is love. So I don't know what this guy's deal was, but I guarantee he wasn't loving. I don't know what his problem was or why he was experiencing demonic possession. But whatever the case may be, he wasn't the kind of person that could sit in the sanctuary, in the synagogue of God's people and hear the word of God and not react. So just to put everyone at ease, if you're here today and you're receiving from the word of God and you're glad to be here and you're not particularly uncomfortable, it's a good chance you're not this guy. But something violent happened, something strange happened. This evil spirit was threatened, and this evil spirit spoke up through this man. It identified itself as one of several demons that had possessed this man. Now, I don't want to talk a whole lot about demon possession, but listen, it happened then, it happens today. Basically, what this means is you give yourself over to evil influence. You're not really who you say you are, and you're really just controlled by forces of darkness, which we know the Bible teaches exist. Now, if you don't believe these things exist, you need only read your newspaper. There was an incident over the last year where, I don't even want to describe it. It's not even a good thing to think about this morning. But somebody was doing something rather bizarre and off the wall and actually attacked someone. And they were convinced that this bizarre attack, which again I'm not going to describe, so it's along the lines of Hannibal Lecter. I'll leave it there. This person... they had convinced everyone that this person had to have been taking hallucinogenic drugs. The only way they could have behaved in this manner is if they had been under the influence of hallucinogenic drugs. I just read the article this week. They determined this person was not under the influence of hallucinogenic drugs. That disturbed me. I would have preferred to have heard that this person was taking some medication that flipped them out than to consider the possibility that someone like that might actually be controlled by demonic forces. But I think we have to acknowledge and accept that while there's not a demon under every rock, there are those who are influenced, even possessed, by demonic evil spirits. It's one of the reasons I don't enjoy watching those movies that talk about this, because for me, it's not make-believe. So as I think about this, I realize this demon identified itself as one of several demons that had possessed this man. This evil spirit feared Jesus and his authority to destroy them. Notice the demons feared him. And that's why they reacted. They knew that it was Jesus of Nazareth and that Jesus of Nazareth was the Holy One of God. They were not confused about his identity. Others were, not them. And they begin to testify to his identity as they identify him. And what does Jesus do? He silences them. He silenced the evil spirit, drove it out of the man. And he did so without even getting near the man. He just, by authority, just said, come out. Look what it says. Come out of him. First he said, be quiet. And then he said, come out of him. And this is amazing to me. Jesus' authority to teach the word of God, yes, but Jesus' authority over the spiritual realm as well is testified to by Mark in this section of this gospel. He prevented the demon from saying anything else. He did not want a demon to testify to his power and authority. He wasn't interested in having the endorsement of this man or the demon within him. He didn't need that. He wasn't looking for it. He wasn't interested in anything this evil spirit had to say. And this demon fiercely resisted him, but was ultimately driven out of the man, for he had no choice but to submit to the authority of Almighty God. Can our God do everything and anything? Yes, because he has all authority. That's the truth. Now, I want to look at it from another perspective. Let's think about the man himself. This man had made some decisions, apparently, because I don't believe that a person just wakes up one day, despite what movies may say. A person doesn't wake up one day and suddenly they're possessed by some kind of an evil spirit. This is something that this man had clearly opened himself up to and allowed to happen in his life. And while it's true that many times in the ancient world, people with conditions such as epilepsy or palsy or other conditions were considered to be demon-possessed, that's one thing. This is a true evil spirit, for the Bible testifies to that truth. So here he is, possessed, and this demon fiercely resists him. And Luke's gospel tells us in Luke 4:35, with a parallel account here, that the demon came out of the man, and he did so without injuring him. But if you look at the description here, it was violent to behold. The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. I hope I never, ever see something like this. I'm not one of those people. A Ghostbuster? You know, there's some people that just look for this stuff. Christians. Oh, they can't wait. Who, you know, demon possession. We're going to cast out demons. Not me. If you have a demon casting out ministry, I'm not interested. I will pray for you. You can pray for me, but please don't ask me to be a guest speaker at one of your rallies. Pastor Joe has shared a number of stories with me. Probably be good stories for around the campfire when you're camping, if you want to scare the kids. Stories of people being possessed by demons in areas of the world where this is a little bit more prevalent, or at least more observable. And just the stories, whew, I don't want to hear anymore. So just so you know, I'm not the person I don't really even like to talk about this stuff. So in a minute, I'm going to move on. But I want you to understand, because you need to understand, that there are spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly realms. There are those forces of darkness working against us. One of the ways you'll be able to recognize them is they will clearly be working against us as the church, working against the teaching of the Word of God, working against the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life. When you see that, you can recognize it for what it is. Not that you look for it, but it is there. So what does Jesus do? Well, he says, be quiet, come out of him. The demon comes out. And that's it. There's not an hour and a half movie about how to get this demon out of this man. Jesus simply says, come out. And he does. And that's it. We'll see more of this in the accounts of Mark's gospel. But for now, just understand that Jesus had this great authority over the Word of God to teach the Word of God. And he had the authority of the Word of God to command evil spirits, and they obeyed. Now I'm going to ask you again, can our God do all things and everything? So what's going on in your life? Oh, I seriously doubt anyone here is dealing with demon possession, but you may be attacked and confronted and oppressed by spiritual activity in your life right now. Those of you who had relatives staying with you may have felt like you performed an exorcism when they left. But I seriously doubt that any of us is dealing with it at this level. However, please recognize, don't dismiss it, that you are dealing with spiritual forces of wickedness in your life. And if you're serving God and you're preaching the gospel or doing missions or outreach of any kind, I promise you, you will face opposition. If you're loving people, caring about people, meeting their needs. Oh, be prepared. Be prepared. So what did the people do when they saw this? Well, in verses 27 through 28, we read, the people were all so amazed that they asked each other, what is this? What is this? A new teaching? And with authority. He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him. And news about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. People had now received some new teaching. That is, the teaching itself was new because it was a new kind of teaching, a new style of teaching with authority, but it was also stuff they hadn't heard before. And then in addition to that, the evil spirits that had so afflicted them, and even this man in their midst, fell on their knees before the Son of God who has all authority over all things. So this is a moment. This is quite an experience. They recognized that he had the authority to teach them something new. They recognized that he had the authority to drive out evil spirits. And so the news spread about him throughout the whole region of Galilee. So now he's become quite popular. Until this point, maybe not so much. In fact, most of the miraculous things Jesus had done up till this point were sort of understated and somewhat explainable. The water turning to wine, not too many people knew about that. And you might have explained that away somehow. Or the great catch of fish. Maybe they got lucky. But there's no question now that Jesus has power and authority to do all things. This is going to get a lot of people's attention. And remember that people that were possessed by demons thought of themselves as infirmed and in need of healing. And so now news spreads throughout Galilee. There's a guy that can heal you, even of demon possession. Well, what do you think happens? Well, we read in verses 29 through 30, that as soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Now, you might say, well, that's nice. I think they were going into hiding. I think at this point they realized, whoa. You know, it's the Sabbath. It's the Sabbath. This is a time of rest. We shouldn't be out dealing with all these things. So they go to the house where Jesus was staying, Peter's home, and they're just hanging out. But while he's there, Simon's, that is Peter's, mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up, and the fever left her, and she began to wait on them. Now, this is not something that everyone saw. This was just something that his disciples saw. But Jesus observed that this woman had fallen ill with some type of fever, maybe malaria, something that was a condition perhaps that she had had for some time. But he had entered Peter's house to have a place to stay and rest on the Sabbath. And while he's there, we know from Luke's gospel, he was actually asked by Peter's family to heal her. Now, why do you think they asked? Because they knew he could do all things. Can he do all things? Can he do everything? So in verse 31, Jesus immediately healed this woman. He immediately healed Peter's mother-in-law, and he did so with unquestionable authority. There's no question about his authority to do this. He was willing to touch this poor woman in order to heal her sickness, and then he supernaturally healed her without a word, and he did so by laying hands on her. He just touched her, helped her up, and in the process, she's made whole. She immediately got up in order to be hospitable and attend to Jesus' needs. In verses 32 through 34, the inevitable happens. What you might have expected. After Jesus had showed that he had authority over demons, evil spirits, and sickness, people start to get word. They start to find out, as they often do. That evening after sunset in verse 32, the people brought to Jesus all. I want you to remember that word right there, because we sometimes pass over a word like that and forget what it means. All the sick and demon-possessed. I would not have wanted that ministry. First of all, I would have been afraid that I couldn't have cured all of them. That wasn't Jesus' concern. He had all authority. But I want you to think about, here he is resting on the Sabbath, and then after the Sabbath, he's approached by all. I want you to just take a moment and think about your street, your neighborhood. And what if all the sick, what if they all came to you and said, heal us? Would you be overwhelmed? The sheer numbers of people with needs in our lives are overwhelming, let alone the spiritual influences of people's lives. Everyone in need in your life right now shows up at your door. How do you feel? Well, this is amazing to me because it says that evening, notice, after sunset, so they all waited till after the Sabbath was over, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door. We've talked about these villages, some of them having an excess of 15,000 people. Now, not just the sick, but those bringing the sick, those just curious to see what he would do. And by the way, when you have a healer in your midst, all of a sudden that pain in your back, you know, now that I'm here, Jesus, it hurts when I go like this. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. Various diseases. So it wasn't just one condition. And he also drove out many demons. But he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. One of the things that Mark's gospel seems to show us is that Jesus was not interested in bringing a lot of attention to himself right now. We talked about some of those reasons last week. Jesus, at this point in his ministry, is primarily interested in ministering without distraction. So what do the demons do? They try to bring distraction, disruption, by bringing even more attention to Jesus at this time. It's amazing how many people want to bring attention to themselves. But the message of Mark's gospel is the servant of God, Jesus, the servant of God. And the one thing that comes out loud and clear, and this is Peter's perspective, is Peter, who had lived with him for 3.5 years and knew him, understood this about Jesus. At no point was Jesus looking to bring attention to himself. He was looking to show his attention toward others. What a wonderful role model for us to follow. Think about it. I think most of our problems come from us trying to bring attention to ourselves. Selfish issues, whether you're selfish or self-absorbed or self-seeking. We bring all kinds of problems into our lives when we make us the issue, not Jesus. And still, he was confronted by the enemy. I love the fact that Jesus was willing to spend the entire evening driving out demonic spirits and healing all those that were sick. That's really what he was interested in doing, helping people. Gail Irwin, Pastor Gail Irwin was with us a few weeks ago. And I still have some of these bumper stickers next door in my office. I'll put them on the back table going forward. That just say others. I've seen some of them on the cars in the parking lot. Some of you guys have put them on your bumpers. Others. Others. What a beautiful slogan, if you will, as we study the Gospel of Mark. Others. And that's what Jesus was all about. The people waited until Sabbath, probably looking out, is it dark yet? Is it dark yet? Is it dark yet? And after the Sabbath had ended, they sought out Jesus for healing, and he supernaturally healed all of the sick. He touched them, and they were healed. He supernaturally drove out demons with a word, didn't even have to touch them, just come out. Luke's gospel gives us some more information about this. But these demons, back to them for just one last second here, they knew that Jesus was the Son of God. They knew he was the Messiah. They called him the Son of God, but he prevented them from saying anything else. Do you know who he is? Do you understand who Jesus is? He's the Son of God. He has the power and authority to do all things in our lives. The demons knew. As the scripture says, the demons believe and they tremble. The people of Capernaum knew. They believed and they were healed and delivered. But sadly, today, God's people seem to have forgotten just who he is. I know I do sometimes. That he can remove that circumstance in your life, that he can deliver you from all sickness and sorrow and difficulty that you're going through, if he so chooses. If there's spiritual oppression in your life, or even possession, he has the authority to do that as well. I think we've been reminded, probably recently, as we looked at our world's events, that we live in a very dark place, but at no point is God not in control. Amen? So I'm going to ask you again as we close. Can our God do all things? All things? Everything? Then if you believe that, cry out to him like those people did. Like those that trusted they could be delivered, acknowledging that God has the power and the authority through the teaching of his word to do a work like that in you today. Lord Heavenly Father, we acknowledge your spirit and your truth. We acknowledge, Lord God, your power, your ability. We acknowledge the opposition, but we acknowledge that you have overcome all that which would stand against you. Lord God, we trust in you, and we ask now that as we prepare our hearts to leave this place or to spend some time in fellowship, that what would stay with us is the truth that you have all power and authority over our lives, over this world, over the spiritual realm, and over sickness and even death. Help us to put our trust in you. And Lord, for those of us who are suffering, those of us who are afflicted, those of us who are going through difficult times, Lord, we cry out to you, believing that you have the power and authority to do all things. We do so by faith, but not a blind faith, faith in the truth preached by your word, that you are the Almighty God. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.